Alright, 3, 2, 1, and
a warm welcome to Disky Talk with Nuyolo. If you're tuning in for the very first time, I do ask that you please subscribe and hit that notification bell. If you've been a part of this journey, I hope you thoroughly enjoy this episode. So, on today's special episode, I'm joined by one of the greatest South African coaches of all time, and he goes by the name of Gavin Hunt. Coach, how are you doing?
How are you doing, my man? Nice to be here.
I'm well. Coach, thank you very much for coming through, and you know, I truly appreciate this. You know, I really, really appreciate it, you know, because this is actually my first interview with a coach, you know, and with all due respect to other coaches, one would think that one's first interview would be with maybe an upcoming coach, you know, but here I sit with one of the greatest of all time. So it is usually said, a penny for your thoughts, but I've got 90 Rand here.
Yo,
because
you came in short.
Yeah, we came in short. But 90 Rand was your first salary. Football.
How did you know that? You're quite right. 1981.
So, yeah, 1981. So 90 Rand was your first salary within football. However, prior to the 90 Rand, as a young boy then, growing up in Western Cape, what were some of the things that shaped your character and your personality?
I think the players that I came into the team with when they were there, I think what doesn't happen enough in these days is characters like that. And the team that are successful will have good leadership character players.
Yeah.
And I came into a dressing room full of experienced players. Players who play in big leagues overseas. Players who are top players in this country.
Yeah.
And as a 17-year-old coming into that dressing room, wow, did I learn a lot.
Yeah.
And you know, every day was a learning process for me. And that's what it was about.
Yeah, but prior to that, there was an opportunity in England, Bolton.
Yes.
However, that did not manifest because you felt that you would one day have to go to the army. What did you feel about that missed opportunity and not getting that chance?
It's not as you know, like back then in the 70s, it's not like it is today. You know, obviously with apartheid and the government, and that, as a white South African, we were forced to go to the army for 2 years. So I was 15 at the time, and George Malore, who was the scout of Bolton Wanderers, came and watched me play as a kid. And he liked me, and they wanted to take me over there. But then the mother said, "My mother, you know the story."
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a norm in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was told, if you can go, when you come back one day, you're gonna have to do your army service.
Yeah.
So that's the mentality we had. You know, everybody was panicking about in those days. So it was very difficult as a white South African,
yeah,
if you want to call it in the football term, because the opportunities were there, but obviously there was other obstacles in the way. Out of our control, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a little bit sad because an opportunity was missed, I thought, and it would have been a great opportunity for me, but that's the example.
Mm. And then developing then and growing up within the setup at Hellenic.
Yeah.
And what were then some of the things that you learned in your time? Because when I then have had my research and have had previous conversations with you off air, you did then mention how you have played various positions.
Yeah.
At some point, you even scored a famous hat-trick, you know,
yeah,
but you settled as a fullback. So what was that like in those times?
Well, in those times, you generally had a squad of maybe 15 players.
Yeah.
And you got jerseys 1 to 11.
Yeah.
So when you came in the dressing room and the coach said, you're playing number 3, okay, you play number 3, or you play number 6.
Yeah.
I was growing up as a kid, I was a central defender.
Yeah.
Technically, my strength was passing. I could pass it long, short. So as in the junior football, I was, you know, I could pass it, you know.
Yeah.
But I never grew. In those days, they wanted bigger, taller,
yeah,
central defenders, and I wasn't tall. Even though I wasn't bad in the air, but I was never going to be that tall.
Yeah.
So when I came into the first team, they signed me. They just stuck me at the fullback.
Yeah.
Because obviously that was the obvious choice. And I wasn't really a fullback.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy playing there. Because it was, you know, your range of passing is generally in one area.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really get in both sides. And you can't bring the ball out much, you know. So I was put there and ended up playing in midfield and, you know, wide. And that's what happened. I mean, as I said, I scored 2 goals against Kaiser Chiefs at left wing.
Yeah.
And I've never played left wing in my life. But that day we had to play. And you end up playing and, you know, that was it.
Yeah.
So it was, and you learned about the game and you understood the game a bit better.
Yeah.
And I think nowadays the squads are 30, there's too many players.
Yeah.
Far too many players now. And I think it's like the English Premier League, you have 25 players and they play over 60 games a year if you're a top side.
Yeah.
In South Africa, we play 30 games and squads of 40 players.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, there's too much football. We play far too little football and squads of 40.
Yeah, and in that time then, when you're obviously then learning about different positions, does that then strengthen how you understand the game and then obviously propel you then into the transition of becoming a coach?
Yeah, well, I think it gives you a good ground understanding, because in every position there's certain characteristics that need to happen, with the ball and without the ball.
Yeah.
But that will never change. From in 100 years' time, it's going to be the same.
Yeah.
So that would, and so when you're playing and there's a small squad, and you have an injury, or those days we only had one sub or two subs. I think it was just we went to two subs. So you had two substitutions. So generally you got moved from fullback to left wing or right wing, or coming to centre midfield.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And you understood the dynamics of that position.
Yeah.
Because I was never a striker. I'm never going to play up front. But I mean, I understood the dynamics. What's needed when we don't have the ball and when we have the ball.
Yeah.
So it was pretty basic.
Yeah. So take me then through the transition. You pick up the injury, and what is going on in your mind then? Are you then considering maybe looking to recover, or is it one of those injuries then that declare that you can't play any longer?
Yeah, that's a problem.
And what then happens with regards to the decision making, with regards to you going into coaching?
So when I was playing, before I got injured, a friend of mine who was a school teacher, and he was the manager of the provincial under 18 schoolboy team.
Mm.
And he said to me, why don't you come and coach? I said, well, actually before that, I coached a friend of mine who was needed a coach in the afternoons, coaching under 10s and under 9s, and I was like, wow. I got paid a little bit of money, and you know, those days we had no money, we were not many 90s. So I did that, and but more seriously, it took when I started to coach under national, the provincial under 18 team, he came in and I made me prepare a team for a tournament. And then I did it 2 years in a row, and I ended up the South African under 18 coach for the national team, for all the schools, you know. So it was and that's how I sort of got into it.
Yeah.
But that was sort of in the background, never thinking about doing it full-time.
Yeah.
Obviously, we all had to work.
Mm-hmm.
So even in all the teams those days, everybody worked, and then went to training in the evenings. And that's how... But what happened with the game growing so quickly, you know, there was an opportunity to go full time, and that's where. And when I got injured, it was still part time,
mm-hmm.
and I was still working. And obviously, I was out for 9 months. I was 32 years old. I struggled. I couldn't walk properly when I came back. And 10 months, 11 months, and I was sitting at Vasco da Gama, and I got offered a job. He said, "You want to coach?" I said, "Let me coach while I'm injured."
Yeah.
Because in those days, you never had a contract. You work from season to season.
Oh,
that's how, so that's how the contract works.
Yeah.
So I finished my third year, and they never gave me a retaining letter to keep me for the next year.
Yeah.
So, you know, these days, these players get injured, they've got a 3-year deal, they still get paid.
Yeah.
We never got paid. So we had to find work, you know, so it wasn't easy. So I took a Vasco job, and that was it.
And how was that then? Because you go from having been a player, and you form part and parcel of the squad, now you're in charge of the squad.
I found it quite easy. I found it because when you played for a club like I played for, there were so many leaders in the dressing room. Any one of them could be coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, they were big characters. So a lot of the coaching at the beginning stages for me was pretty much based on experience,
mm-hmm.
what I knew. Everybody sort of played very similar, pretty much 4-4-2.
Yeah.
All the teams in South Africa, through that 70s and 80s period, everybody played the same. So it wasn't... The game was stagnating a little bit, but it was a game, a very simple game to understand.
Yeah.
So if you had a bit of, if you were well coached like I was, you worked off your coaching experience.
Yeah, because there actually was an interview I read, and you felt that back in your time, the build-up in the game was a lot more methodical, and you felt that the game intelligence back then was a lot better.
Well, the biggest problem we have in our game is just because we're in South Africa, in world, but especially South Africa, is game intelligence. Now people say, what's game intelligence? Game intelligence is understanding when the ball, you're receiving the ball in a certain area of the field, be it high up the pitch, low down, middle of the pitch, what to do with it.
Yeah.
If you get under pressure.
Mm.
What not to do with it, what not to do, what risk not to take. So those type of things, I mean, the biggest problem we have in South Africa is taking a throw-in. The players can't take a throw-in in South Africa. Where to throw the ball, how to throw the ball. And you laugh. They can't take a goal. I mean, the free kicks are poor, the corners are poor. So I feel, and you know, there's an old saying in life, the older you get, the better you should think you were. Because everybody will say, your parents, in my day, we did like this, and we were better people. And in football, we all say that, but I'm not saying we were better players, but we had better game intelligence. Mm. And we grew up with a very basic way of playing and a way that everybody understood. I think today, coaches, the modern day coaches, complicate the game.
Yeah.
The game is far too complicated. And the game is a simple game.
Yeah.
And the dynamics of the game will not change. Then they try different formations and three at the back and do this and not playing wingers. And that's good and well. I understand all that. The players are producing different type of players these days.
Yeah.
But the game intelligence is lacking.
Yeah. So from that then, you then obviously were very key then in giving a young Benny McCarthy an opportunity. What then do you see in a young Benny McCarthy and what excites you about him?
Well, you see, and the biggest thing, people think see good players, but you see a will to win.
Yeah.
Now, people say, oh, yeah, every player. No. The players at the top level, there's a lot of them don't have the will to win. Mm-hmm. They do it because they like everything that goes with the game.
Yeah.
The lifestyle, the money, the this and that. But they haven't got the will to actually want to win the game. And when I saw Benny the first day, I saw a player that had this will to win, besides being exceptionally talented.
Yeah.
I mean, he's spring, he's striking of the ball, he's gaining intelligence for a young boy at 16. He had no coaching. He just had natural ability. So the first day I saw him, I said, wow, this guy is going to be a superstar. Yeah. Phoned up the owner of the club, I said, this guy can play in Europe. No, oh, you're joking with me, you're joking nonsense, blah, blah, blah. I said, you'll play in Europe. 9 months later, he was at AX Amsterdam. So he went from a second division to, he played one game for Cape Town Spurs or two games.
Yeah.
He scored a hat-trick against Kaiser Chiefs. You know, so he, one thing about him, he always had levels.
Yeah.
Where some players get to a level and that's their level.
Yeah.
They're not going to get any better. He always had levels to jump. You know, and natural ability with the will to win.
Yeah. So what's interesting then about your journey is that you go then from Cape Town to Limpopo to Black Leopards. And for me, it's just, it's very, very interesting because when you look at it from a social perspective, Limpopo still to this day is one of those areas then which predominantly...
Not Limpopo, Venda.
Venda.
Venda is a bit miles apart.
Yeah. So Venda is one of those places then which are predominantly black.
Only black.
You know, and you...
No white people.
Yeah. So then...
Few farmers.
So then when Mr. Tidiela gets onto the phone and he rings you up and he wants you then to come and coach his team, what was the conversation like?
Well, I knew David. David used to be the head of our security when Eleni came to Johannesburg. So he would take us into the townships.
Yeah.
We weren't welcome in the townships. The white people. he used to take us in as our security. So... That's how I got to know David.
Yeah.
And then obviously the friendship, or I wouldn't say friendship, just, you know, we went apart. And then I got this phone call after a few years, say, hey, how are you? Chat. And I knew he had a team, and they got promoted. And he phoned me up, we're looking for a coach, 3 weeks ago before the start of the season, by the way.
Yeah.
I said, do you want to coach now? He said, yeah. And I just got fired from Athletic, which was a real upset me, you know, it was a club I was from a kid and gave all my life to, and anyway. So I thought, you know what, I packed a bag, I went for a weekend, and I ended up staying a year. Today, forget about all the things you won and, you know, what you achieved and that. I still think that was my, maybe second star, it was better. But Black Leopards was the greatest achievement, taking a bunch of players that, every word I said, they took it.
Yeah.
And there was great mutual respect. And today, 23 years later, they still phone me, most of those players.
Yeah.
And out of all the teams that I've coached, the most players phone me is from Black Leopards.
Yeah.
Because of the what we built up, you know?
Yeah, because my uncle would often say that he's a very big fan, you know, and he would always say then one of the true tests of a coach is going to one of those remote areas I had and being able then to do a job.
So when you go there, if you start complaining, you got no jobs.
Yeah.
Because there's no infrastructure, there's no fields, there's no nothing. And you must remember you're 6.5-7 hours away from Johannesburg.
Yeah.
So every time you're playing, you're to get a bus. So if you're going to complain about how things are done, or so I went there with a clear picture, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to get the people, we got all of the players, you know, we molded a team there, not me, or we, whatever, molded a team there in 3 weeks, and we hit the ground running.
Yeah.
We were second and halfway, and I knew we were going to win.
Yeah.
Off because we never had the never had numbers, we never had, you know, we never had enough, to be fair, quality backup.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
I understand.
But experience-wise, people say, "Would you? I would do it again."
Yeah.
I'll do it again.
Yeah, I definitely trust that. And then from that point, then you then move to Johannesburg. You then go to Swallows,
yeah.
Marco Swallows at that time.
Yeah.
So what was that like? You know, did you then start to feel like I'm starting to progress and I'm making the right moves with regards to your coaching career, or was it one of those moves that you just wanted to challenge yourself in a new surrounding?
Well, it was a move that I had to do. Financially, it was so much better. Obviously, let's just not beat around the bush.
Yeah.
Financially, it was so much better. You're coming back to Johannesburg. You've got facilities. You've got a decent team. I'm not saying, I just, at Leopards at that point in time, I didn't think we could do it again.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have taken a whole rebuild again, but we certainly had, you know, we would have done okay. I don't know if we could have done the heights we reached.
Yeah.
And then Swallows, obviously, financially was a good offer. Back to Johannesburg. I knew what I was coming to. Because at Leopards, I was sort of protected there with David. David looked after me in the media, you know, that stuff.
Yeah.
When you go to Swallows, you're taking on this big animal.
Yeah.
And this animal, I mean, you know, the first time of the week I was there, they chased me and put me in the back of the van and hid me under the kit because the supporters wanted to kill me.
Yeah.
And then they pushed my wife off the road with a car and so on and so on. You know.
Yeah.
They came to the ground and they killed me and, you know, until I challenged one by one, but then they ran away.
Yeah. Yeah, so when you walk into that dressing room, which were some of the players then that stood out for you and players you were really looking forward to coaching?
Well, I knew I couldn't coach them, and they knew that they wouldn't last with me.
Yeah.
So you had Janine Hartleys, you had Naughty McQuainers, you had Boom CB, you had Jeffrey Lachetto, you had, these are big characters.
Yeah.
These are characters that run that Swallows team.
Yeah.
These are characters that are not going to listen to no coach, especially me,
yeah,
who's going to ask for a little bit more in terms of discipline and shape and,
yeah,
and playing without the ball and pressing and what. So there was a huge rejection. Thank goodness when I got there at the beginning, a lot of them moved out through going to other clubs, offers, or you know, and it sold a lot. But there was a lot of rejection from the supporters, there was a lot of rejection. They hated me. I lost the first game final to Pirates, and then that's when I got almost necklace there. And, so yeah, it was good times.
Yeah.
So I wore a suit that day. I never worn a suit again.
Yeah.
Yeah. After all the booty and stuff got thrown at me. Yeah.
They're like, never again.
Yeah.
Never again. So what is then your fondest memory then of coaching Morocco Swans?
Well, the fondest memory is to have a team that was consistent.
Yeah.
I don't think I was there, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years, I don't remember. But we were never lower than 6th or 7th. We came 3rd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, and I think 1 year we came 7th. The year we came 7th, we went to 2 Cup Finals.
Yeah.
And we lost on the golden goal. Remember that we shared that rule?
Yeah, yeah.
So we were 2-1 up against Cosmos in Durban, the top 8 final, the SA Airways final. Anyway, so it's extra time. The kickoff, 30 seconds penalty for them. It was 2-2. 3-2 game over.
Yeah.
So you still got 30 minutes, and we lost the game. Then we beat Manly Rangers in the APSA Cup, which is like the Netbank Cup.
Yeah, so then what happens then when you get the offer from SuperSport? Is that a moment in your life where you feel like, because you had just mentioned that you were able to reach 2 Cup Finals, are you then at a point in your life where you feel like I can start winning trophies and I can start competing?
Yeah, won a trophy at Swallows.
Yeah,
I think in coaching it's about progression and opportunity. You know, obviously coming together because.
Yeah.
You know, opportunities don't always come.
Yeah.
But your progression might be far out seeing your opportunities. And when SuperSport came, I knew there's a club that could win the league.
Yeah.
Because of the quality of the players there. They were far better. They were far better quality than me at Swallows. I didn't think I could win the league at Swallows. And to be fair, we came joint second. Well, we came same points as Silver Stars and we lost in the goal difference. So we came 3rd.
Yeah.
But I didn't think we could win the league. Maybe it would have taken a bit of time, but I didn't think it. When I saw SuperSport, I thought, now we can win the league.
Yeah.
And I told Stan Matthews when the first time he met me, And they came seventh that year. He said, "You're joking." I said, "Oh, you're on the league, this team."
Yeah.
He's one or two things that won the league, and well, the rest is history.
So, at SuperSport, Coach, let's get a little to the players, because you know you're very successful there. Yeah. So, what was your strongest 11?
So the first thing I did when I went to Super, if I can recall, going to SuperSport, was to sort the defense to play a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Now, that's easier said than done. That means you got to press a bit harder from the front.
Mm.
That means if you press a little bit harder from the front, the ball is going to come along into your defense.
Yeah.
Okay? What does that mean? You need good headers of the ball. It's no good pressing and then lock it long and you have no people can hit the ball.
Yeah.
So the first thing I did was I signed Bongani Kumalo from Takis.
Yeah.
And everybody said, "Oh, he's not good enough." I said, "Well, he can't play. He can't play.
Yeah.
But he can hit a ball.
Yeah.
And he'll score 6-7 goals a season for me and he'll defend my box
very well.
Very well." So he's, you know, there's three things every footballer's got to do.
Yeah.
Score goals, create goals and stop goals.
Stop goals. Yeah.
If he does that and he was scoring goals. So, you know, we got like him and Morgan and Ricardo Katzer, all good three headers of the ball. We press from the front, Dane, Belembes, these guys, it's going to come along into our back.
Okay.
So we need a goalkeeper that's not decent on his feet, which was, we had Dennis Onyango.
Dennis Onyango.
Who was very young.
Yeah.
Great shot stopper, but not good with his feet.
Yeah.
And Andre Orange is still. So I played Andre more the first year when he won it, and the second year when Andre retired.
Okay.
And Dennis sort of came in there. You know?
So in goals. Yeah.
Andre Aronson, but Dennis was number two there.
Right back?
There was a few right backs.
Yeah.
And there was, I wouldn't say it was a problem area for us, but it was an area that I always felt we need a defensive right back. I don't like attacking fullbacks. I think it's an overrated position. Because every time they run 80 meters, they get down the field and they cross it in the stands half the time.
Yeah.
So rather just keep him as right back, get a winger in front of him. I would say the good right backs we had was Davis Nkasu. We had Thabo September, who was a bit. Thabo September, I'll never get sorry.
No problem.
We played three games against Pirates. Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. Double header in the semi final of the Cup and a league game in the middle. Thabo September played right back, centre back, and centre midfield in three games. Man and Lynch. So he was invaluable. He was brilliant. I thought he was a good right back for
us.
So Thabo September, Davis Nkasu, good right backs for me.
Okay, so you have to pick one, Coach.
Thabo, Davis, Davis was quick, Thabo was intelligent, and Thabo wouldn't give you overlapping, Davis not too much as well, but I would say Thabo.
Sorry, Davis. It's fine. And then your two centre-backs?
Well, obviously Ricardo Katzer was the number one when I got there, but I think Bongani and Morgan formed the better combination.
Yeah.
With Thabo sometimes coming in to centre-back, then Davis would come in and right-back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think Bongani, and because of where they did and what they did, Bongani going to Spurs, Morgan was, you know, great.
Yeah.
You know, he was a little competitor.
And then your left back?
Well, there's a few. Chechi Moore we had, David Canaway we had, who were, you know, real good, solid left back. Taboko Langeman I had, who was a left winger, I converted him to left back, and then he had a great career.
Yeah.
I wonder who we converted him, you know. Tobacco, you should thank me. You know, he doesn't thank me. All of a sudden, he's a great left back. We bring him a left back. You know? So, for me, you know, David Canaway, I would say, it was really steady for me.
Yeah.
David Canaway.
And then, with regards to your midfield, what was your approach, and what were you trying to do with your midfield?
So, we had two shapes that we played. We played three in midfield, and we played with a flat double bullet.
Yeah.
I prefer two players in the field.
Yeah.
Because that gives you more attacking options than the other way. But then you need two good solid midfield players, you need two good centre backs in your goal. So your spine needs to be strong.
Yeah.
If your spine is not strong, it's like people. So why do teams play back threes? Because I feel they don't trust the centre backs.
Yeah.
Or they got full backs who are not really good one on one defenders. So, or they don't have wingers.
Yeah.
So they go with the three centre backs.
Yeah.
Because they don't trust the centre backs to play with the two. I think if you can't play, that's why I always look for players. They can play in a two, centre backs, or in centre midfield players can play in a two. Because nowadays, oh, he's a great midfield player, but he can only play in a three midfield player.
Yeah.
Or he's a good centre back, but he can only play in a three centre back.
Yeah.
He needs to play in a two. Because now, you play man on man, a lot of the time, the two strikers are up, the full backs are up, there's a counter attack, and you've got man against man.
Yeah.
Where teams are, oh, we need some insurance, you know? So, yeah. I'm a two-man midfield player.
You're a two-man midfield. Yeah. So, you're two-man at SuperSport, you had?
Jeez, I had quite a few. Here we go. It's a problem. Because we had quite a lot.
Yeah.
But the ones, Brent Carlos has got to be in there,
yeah,
in centre midfield. Who he pairs up with, Lebo Kokana, Mashamel, Bibo, Balabanya, Lance Davids. Sure, we had a lot of good centre midfield players. Thabo Sutemba in there sometimes.
Yeah.
But for me, Brent has got to be one with...
I think I know who you'll pick.
No, if I go Lebo...
I think you'll go Bibo.
Yeah, Bibo. We sold Lebo to Celtic for a lot of money. When people said, oh, you're joking, we just won the league. I said,
yeah,
well, we got this guy Bibo, he can take over.
Yeah.
I love Bibo, but I think Lebo scored more goals. He had more shots outside the box. So I'd go Lebo and Brent Carlos.
And Brent Carlos. And then, with regards to your wingers?
Well, dang.
Belembe.
Yeah, there's only one debate there. I think I had Zongo, I had Andy Lafour, I would go Dane Belembe. Because they scored goals, created goals, stopped.
Yeah.
These two worked up and down. And what I could do with Belembe,
yeah,
I could tuck him inside to play in the three man midfield.
Yeah.
Then we leave the four wide and, Glenn Senna.
Yeah, because I remember how
we used to go a lot of this, if we're getting overrun a little bit,
yeah,
then we would go like this. And then your Mobanias and guys would come in,
Yeah, because it's something we'll actually go into a bit further on within the episode, because I remember how then you were able to sort of reinvent him at Bitfitz and how you were able then to blend it. How then you were able
to... Well, obviously the legs have gone.
Yeah.
So the legs go. He's not going to go up and down for you anymore.
Yeah.
So we move him inside a little bit and play him as a 10 or something.
Yeah.
We're playing... I didn't like him yet because he started pressing the ball.
Yeah.
I preferred him to... So when he got to me, he came as his number 10, and I put him wide because we lost Tika Madisa right at the beginning.
Yeah.
But I preferred him here.
Yeah. So, with regards to SuperSport, because you do know that they've always had a well-renowned academy system at that time,
yeah,
were there any players that you really, really liked and you felt that they could make the grade?
So, Kamakhela Mokoja was the one there.
Yeah.
I didn't have him long enough. He played for me, but he was on the bench. He was 17. Zongo was first, Bibo first, Kermit Erasmus.
Yeah.
Kermit Erasmus, for me, and I'll tell you to his face, he's the biggest underachiever footballer that I know. With the talent that he's got, he lacks the drive and to play football. And he's a quiet, placid boy, but I think technically he's the best finisher I've seen.
Yeah.
But he should have played at the top level. But I think they spoiled him when he was a kid. He didn't train much. Come on the weekend, square trick.
Yeah.
He didn't train much, square trick. And then obviously we had Ronwin. So, that team they had Ronwin, Zongo, Kamakhela, Bibo, Kermit, I'm trying to think of, some real good players,
Yeah.
Academy was good.
So, with regards then, let's have a look at your forward line. Would you go with two strikers? Are you going with one number 10 or a second striker?
Well, the best combination that I had was, for me,
Yeah,
is Glenn Salmon and Anthony Lafour. Glenn Salmon is the most overrated, underrated footballer. He played 10 years in the Dutch league, played every week.
Yeah.
And he comes to South Africa, he couldn't make a final team. Are you joking with me? And you go to the Olympics, you don't even pick him. He's a joke. It was the biggest injustice of any footballer.
Yeah.
When he started his career, he was a running nine.
Yeah.
So he ran behind. When he came to me, I wouldn't say me, but I try to change his roles a little bit.
Yeah.
So he's a bit of a battering ram, and he was good in the air, and his first touch was. So when you had play, I forgot even to play like Jabu Maleka.
Yeah.
He was fantastic.
Oh.
His ability to play in little pockets. So I would play Jabu on the right or Belembe, because obviously they do, and then he would come inside. And,
yeah.
And what used to happen 9 times out of 10?
Yeah.
We would end up like this, like Lebo, Carlson, Jabu, and Lafour would obviously go wide in that leg. So we ended up like this.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of goals here, a lot of
creativity,
strength, work rate, and you had the quality of play. Glenn was the glue.
Yeah.
He was the glue. He was the main man in my, and I only had him 2-3 years, but he was the main guy.
And off the field then, who was key in keeping this dressing room?
We had good characters like Ricardo Katze, we had good characters like go from the back. We had Thomas September, Andre Aronson, fantastic. Morgan, leader, Bongani, captain, David Kellerman. Do you see where I'm going?
Yeah.
5, 6.
Yeah.
Davis, Lebo, Brent Carlson,
stick the arm Clay,
he was fighting with everybody, pushing everybody.
Yeah.
Palembe, he couldn't speak much English, but chasing, fighting.
Yeah.
Glenn, moaning, arguing with everybody, pushing everybody. What a team.
This is a complete team.
This team, keep together. We won the league 5-6 years in a row. But obviously, we broke the team up. And then you had guys like Mashego, I forgot about him.
Yeah.
Quality goal scorer. I mean, you know, he hated me because I used to bring him on.
Yeah.
He starts, he doesn't score. You bring him on, he scores.
Yeah.
So, he would score between 10 and 15 goals every year coming off the bench. Yes, he played quite a lot of games.
Yeah.
But he hated not starting.
Yeah. So, what was it then about this squad? Because at that period, that was when I was sort of starting to understand football. And for me, I knew that it was difficult to win a league title. Let alone win it twice, and then you go and do it three times in a row.
No team. The third league title we had no team. We sold Dane, we bought Lala K from an old mutual academy for 20,000 rand. A kid 17 years old, he's a big star now.
Yeah.
We had Tipsy Musselin, we had nothing up front, we had no players, but we had a good solid, mentality. Mentality was good.
Yeah.
But it was always going to drop off after that.
Yeah.
It dropped off a little bit.
Yeah, it did. And then obviously comes that call then from Jose. And
Jose left. Jose was with me.
Yeah.
And what happened was, true story, before we won the third league title, Ryan Joffe phoned me.
Yeah.
Went to a meeting, wants to sign me as a coach. Name your price. I thought, well, here we go. And then I said to him, he said to me, what do you think about our team? I said, the team is poor.
Yeah.
I said, I've got more chance of winning the league at Supersport. Again.
Yeah.
He said, but you won it twice as if you won it again. Even though we had no players. And he said to me, yeah, but you got it. He said, and he respected me. Because
yeah.
I could have named him, I could have whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he would have bought me whatever I want. But I said to him, I don't think it's time. And it wasn't. And I stayed another year. And then I went there. Jose went the year before.
Yeah. And how's that been? You know, even from, I mean, where you were very successful. Because when we now speak of just a human being from a social perspective, human beings are sort of creatures of habit and comfort.
Yeah,
and
pretty much so.
Yeah, and you had developed a great habit, and you developed this comfort and this relationship with all of these talented players.
I was very upset with Supersport because they didn't want me to win anymore. Now,
how does that work, Coach?
Well, because, I mean, I'm saying this not in a bad way, but it wasn't good for their business. Because they're not going to sell decoders.
Yeah.
And they're not going to sell dishes. They're not going to sell, because people want Chiefs and Pirates and Sundowns to win the league.
Mm.
So with us, this little team, this little aggravation. So what happened was, a lot of the players got sold. And it was a club that we run on a very tight budget, which I always like. But we had to sell players as well. So when you're selling players, like the quality we have, Mashego, Mapela, this one, that one.
Yeah.
I'm going to suffer.
Yeah.
I'm going to suffer.
Yeah.
So in the fourth year, I came seventh. We struggled, you know. Then the next year, we got to the cup final and we won the cup and the net bank. And but I was going to stay, but obviously financially, very good offer again.
Yeah.
And a good project that wanted to win the league.
Yeah.
Where Supersport, I don't think, wanted to win the league anymore. Just what went around in the corridors. Now I might be talking out of place or out of turn, but
yeah.
I didn't get the feeling that they wanted to win it anymore.
Yeah.
It was too much pressure that this team, little Supersport, caused too much problems.
Yeah, because I think sometimes as a human being, you can sort of feel that.
You know, you go into a meeting, oh, we're selling this one. But he's my best player. But I can't keep. And we couldn't afford him.
Yeah.
And we're getting offers from all the big clubs. And they all basically went off. We sold our whole team off.
Then do you then come to a place of acceptance where you realize that, okay, maybe it's time then I take up that very good offer?
Yeah, then you go to Wits and they say, right, we want to win the league. I said, well, we haven't won the league in 100 years. So we looked at the team. I said, gee, we need a total rebuild here.
Yeah.
And the first year we came third with a real makeshift team. And then came third again, then came second, and then obviously came first.
Yeah.
But it was a big, I enjoyed it there.
Yeah.
Because obviously it was a little bit closer as well, Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. I was living in Johannesburg. Facilities of world class, of training pitches, great, the home match venue, great little club. I mean, I used to enjoy playing against Wits when I was a player, playing at Ball Park there, but yes, Wits was building. And we had some good players. And it was a great opportunity to build a team there. which we did.
Yeah. So what was the conversation like in the boardroom with regards to the budget you had and how then they were trying to build as
well? Well, we never had budget to buy players.
Yeah.
So we're never going to do a Sundowns.
Yeah.
So if the players worth 2 million spending 8 million, or if the players worth 8 million, there's nobody worth 8 million in South Africa, and they're spending what they do now, 15 million on the player, which is mind-blowing. And it's distorted the whole marketplace.
Yeah.
It's pushed, you know, wages and salaries, which is good for them when you're there, but the other guys, you know, they all want to get there anyway.
Yeah.
So we're never going to buy players. So what Jose, who's the best CEO for me, he knows the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And he knows how to work, and we look for the free agents. And we bought one or two, but also selling to try and manage the financial burden, you know, so which we did.
Yeah, also then another club then at that time, which also had quite a very good academy, and obviously had certain young players who were coming through. Which were some of the young players then that caught your eye at that moment?
I need to refresh my memory. You know, I had so many players. I mean, look at this boy, Ati Kosi now.
Yeah.
Ati Kosi just went to the National. He was in France last night.
Yeah.
He was in our academy a year ago, 2 years ago. And now he got a gap at Stellenbosch, and now he's playing there. So he was like the one coming through. Who did we have? Pagamani. Pagamani, there's an obvious one. I mean, I saw Pagamani play as a winger.
Yeah.
And Glenn was the coach then at the time of the Glenn Salmon, of the Disky team. And he said, "What do you think?" I said, "Well, I don't think he's a winger."
Yeah.
And he's quick. And I said, "He's not a winger because he's technically not very good."
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have a...
much flair.
Yeah, he's not going to play give and goes or a little touch or cross the ball.
Yeah.
But if you put him up front, you're running behind people. If we get somebody to play him in,
yeah,
that's the business. And I played him up front, and we won the league. And he was electric.
Yeah.
First game against Platinum Stars. So we went to play Platinum Stars there, and Jose, "What's the team?" I said, "Well, I'm going to play Pagamani at number 9. I said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to play at number 9. I said, Villa can play him in.
Yeah.
If he moves, Villa can slide him in.
Yeah.
He scored a hat-trick. Yeah. And then the rest was history. We sold him to Al-Ahli, big money. Big money.
Yeah,
for a club of our size.
Yeah.
Which financed us and helped us. You know?
I remember that. So when you, just sticking to Pagamani Mashambi there.
But there was a lot of other ones
around
the place. You know, we just came in. Lost my memory.
Yeah, so when you look at Pagamani Mashambi and you look at the fact that he obviously hasn't kicked on, and you tried then when you were at Chippa United to give him another opportunity, how then do you feel about that?
That's what he's doing, and I got blamed, the Chippa.
Yeah.
I got blamed. I'm bringing injured players, but he trained, and then the second game, he snaps his Achilles tendon.
Yeah.
I mean, it can happen to anybody. He turns and snaps. He was in no condition when he came to us, so we had to get him fitter, pushed him a little bit, but to get blamed for bringing injured players and the guy got injured in the second game. First game we played, he scored.
Yeah.
Against Orlando Pirates.
Yeah.
And then the second game, obviously, we played Stellenbosch away and he did his Achilles. And he slowly recovered. It's the same thing as you are.
Yeah.
Basically, 9 months.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's...
He's been a big disappointment for me because he should have achieved much more.
Yeah. And I ask about him...
He's 24.
Yeah. Because I ask about him because you've obviously then given so many young players an opportunity.
Yeah.
You've seen so many young players that so much quality, you know, from the Benny McCarthy's to the Dane Clates, and you've seen all these young players come through, you know. So I would imagine that it is something that obviously bothers you from time to time, because I think that is a player who should have been key to Bafana Bafana currently.
Use it.
Pagamani Mashambi.
Yeah, if I look at last night's game, okay, the strikers are going to get no service.
Yeah.
They're not going to get the ball. So you're going to... if anything, you need is pace.
Yeah.
So we just get us out. Because one ball down the side, you're going to get out.
Mm.
But if you don't have too much pace, you're not going to get out. You know, so you either need somebody big and strong that's going to hold it for you.
Yeah.
But we like sort of caught even... We're not producing this type of players anymore. Yeah. If you look at South Africa. We don't produce those good number nines anymore. The old-fashioned type of nine, we're going to hold the ball and play with his back towards goal. But then you need to go the other way, play with a bit more pace.
Yeah.
And play a little bit more reckless. And for me, Pagamani, a fit Pagamani at 24, should be flying now.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't happen for me.
It's been unfortunate.
Yeah.
You know, so then, leading up then to the sale of the club, what is going on at the club? Do you have any ideas with regards to the club being sold?
We get a rumour January, February, before COVID. Nothing new about COVID.
Yeah.
January, February, we've got a rumor they want to sell. Okay, but let's, if you're going to sell, sell it the right way. Mm-hmm. Give it, say, end of the year, we're selling, or whatever. Then it, we go to COVID. So everybody's at home, everybody's doing what you can. We're having a good season, okay? We're building, I'm building another team, because every 3 to 4 years is long, but every 3 years, 4 years, you need to build another team.
Yeah.
Freshness, you can keep a few players, but you need to build and refresh the place.
As you always say, there's a famous saying, and there's a famous line, but you never let a team grow old together.
Yeah. The team, and I walked into that recently,
yeah.
The team is old,
yeah.
So you've got no chance. You're not going to, they've had, most of those players have had 10 coaches in their life.
Yeah.
Who's this coach going to tell them, that, hey, we need to press, we need to work out harder, and do this, or whatever. They don't listen. So you, either that, or they must go.
Yeah.
What happens now, they fire the coach.
Yeah.
They keep the same players.
Yeah.
So, you've got it. Alex Ferguson, who's the greatest, he kept reviving the team.
Yeah.
He got rid of Ronaldo at the top, he got rid of Beckham, he got rid of Stam, he got rid of Van Nistelrooy, he got rid of, these players are at the top of the games.
Yeah.
People say, why are you selling? The biggest club. They're not doing it.
Yeah.
The day a player loses his desire and hunger on the training ground, and it happens.
Yeah.
They win everything. You win your league titles, the day he's got to go.
Yeah.
And the most important thing with any player is when to sell it or when to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And loyalty, we want loyalty, but there's got to be loyalty. And players, I mean, Dane Clayton, I said, Dane, you need to stop. He said, oh, I said, but you're not giving the game the justice and the rewards that it should be given.
Yeah.
We've won so much. Most successful player in South Africa,
retire.
And he fought with me a little bit, then a year later he said, you were right.
Yeah.
I said, you lost your hunger and desire. I've seen you training, you're not training anymore. The day you don't want to come to training,
you're off.
And there's too many players in South Africa
that
go through the motions, get paid well, but are going through the motions.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, and you need to move them out.
Yeah. So, at that time then, with regards to the club being sold, what are the conversations which are being had?
So we got told in the bubble, in the COVID, the club is sold. Now, a couple of weeks later, or a month later, the league's put back on.
Yeah.
So we go into this bubble, 5 weeks, 6 weeks in the hotel. So we get everybody in the hotel, I said, right, sit down. This is, as we get into the hotel, I sat everybody down, I said, right, who doesn't want to play? If you don't want to play, I didn't say it so nicely.
Yeah.
I said, you can go.
Yeah.
Now, go. And what I did, which I thought was a very good decision, even if I said, I brought about six kids in. What, you know?
Yeah, I remember.
I brought about six kids in.
Rose
Newman
was
I brought Phillips in, September, July, September, Rowan Newman, and there was a couple of other ones who didn't play that much.
Yeah.
They were the three, four key ones, and I played them. Thinking, that we can also put them in the shop window.
Yeah.
Thinking they would keep the team, and they were brilliant.
Mm.
And they all got contracts.
Yeah.
So we helped them. They helped me, I helped them, and we helped each other. But I said to the players, anyone who doesn't want to play, well, they go. And they could have walked out.
Yeah.
And it was difficult because every one of them were being sold as we were talking. So we would sit in the hotel, they were getting sold.
Yeah.
Pirates took them. Then we were bidding with Sundowns for Tyson, and you know, it was difficult times.
Yeah.
But to be fair to the players, they gave their all and credit to them. And I said to them, I always say in life, pay your dues in life, God will reward you.
Mm-hmm.
Cheat, and he won't reward you. So when you play football, play properly.
Yeah.
And you will get rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get rewarded. Something will happen. And they all gone on to bigger, huge contracts.
Yeah.
And they all got big money. And good luck to them.
Yeah. So then you obviously then go from that period, and you go now into a period.
I was the only one with a job.
Yeah. That was the ironic part.
Everyone else getting jobs except me.
Yeah. So you're now going to a period of, firstly, the world is at a stage of uncertainty with regards to the COVID. And you also then also finding yourself at
not if football's gonna start again.
Yeah. And you also find yourself at a place of uncertainty. And having then you look at the past 10 years with regards to your career, you are always with regards to how you were always certain, you had long-term projects.
I knew what was going, I knew it was coming, I knew what players were selling, I was stable, we were a team that's going to win the league again, Vitsun won the league again, I'm telling you. We get it, Sundowns have got it easy that Vitsun got. Because we were the only competition, Chiefs and Pirates have no competition to Sundowns.
No, you know, and I would agree with that, because if you look at that period, you guys were the only ones that were able to challenge them. And you were the only ones then who were able to win a trophy.
We were like that little irritation to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they knew with us. And we were always, because I think where we did better than anybody, and I say it, the most important thing is the players that you sign.
Yeah.
And we, I think, with the knowledge that we had with Jose and my assistant Paul, who was brilliant, and the goalkeeper and Roy and these guys, we had an eye for the player.
Yeah.
And within our budget constraint. We couldn't, I mean, it's easy to go like Sunday, oh, let's buy him for 10 million, because yeah. nobody can unsupport him, yeah. which they do. And then you could, and then after 6 months, oh, he's not good enough and they get rid of him. Or, yeah. they, or you just go and put him on another field there. So,
yeah. you know. What, what's the other field
called? Well, you know, if you've got other squads on the other field, yeah. yeah. So, you know, you they can afford to do that, but I found that they make the success they're having now, eventually, after all the failures that they had, if you look at the last 15 years,
yeah.
they won the league, yes, but they should win it every year.
Yeah.
But they've got so much failures in players
yeah.
and the coaches. And when they brought Pizzo in, fantastic.
Yeah.
But they let him now do his thing
yeah.
and get players, and he moved a lot of players out that were signed. Willy nilly,
yeah.
and he got, you know, he got his squad.
As much as you with that good squad, you were able to win the league. But a moment that stands out for me was the MTN 8, and how you guys won the MTN 8 final and
the football we played.
That performance.
So, I'm not a gambling man, but I'm a betting man.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we played. That was the start of the season, and the squad we had. I looked at our bench that night, and on the bench was Ben Matswaris and Vincent Poulez and. Sofiso Manyemi and I'm just trying to names come to me.
Yeah.
And I said, if we don't win the league this year, I must get fired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said it to my confidence.
Yeah.
And then the night we played 3-0. It was a it was football.
Yeah, no, that was a great performance.
Colin Malambo
yeah.
play
Colin Malambo,
and Clantes
yeah.
and
yeah.
And I said to my boss that night, we were all in it afterwards, oh, happy. I said, we'll win the league. We only played 2 games in the league or something.
Yeah.
He said, you're joking. He said, what's the odds? I think I don't know what the price was. And our boss, to be fair, put 10,000 or 20,000 rand on us, and he made money at the end of the season.
Yeah. Good times. So it's now past that period, and it's obviously COVID times, and you're sitting at home. What emotions are you feeling, and what's going through your mind with regards to the next step?
Well, I felt at that time that I still today didn't want say the big three clubs. I didn't want it.
Yeah,
because I knew I could win. Yeah.
Yeah.
And going there, I don't think I'm going to be in charge of my own destination.
You know the money.
So as a coach, I know I can win you.
Yeah.
Because I've got a chairman that's next to me, says, whatever you want, we're going to back you.
Yeah.
Okay, then we're going to do this, and we go this way.
Yeah.
The staff, where you're going to a club, and you're going that way.
Because one thing I've always picked up about you, coach, is how forthright you are. And I think you're one of the very few individuals who are very genuine. And I could always feel it and sense that you never wanted that, you know, because what you were very good at then was building with regards to those type of projects. And having been an owner who's going to say, you know what, I trust you, this is your team, do what you want.
I'll tell you a true story. I could have been the first year or second year at Supersport who won the league.
Yeah.
Patrice Mosepe phoned me. I won't tell you the figures.
Yeah.
But it was 4 times more than I was earning. 4 times more. You got full control of the club, blah, 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 blah. You can buy whatever you want. I knew I was going to win. The money was, for me, it was like, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't take it.
Why didn't you take it?
Because I knew that I was in a place where I was in charge and I made decisions and I felt that I can play the way I want to play, which I know will win.
Yeah.
Because it's all people say, oh, they talk about me, you play long ball philosophy. Well, you can only play to the ability of the players that you've got.
Yeah.
Why try and do something that they can't do? So a coach's philosophy works on, yes, he's got his philosophy, what is the game to play, what he looks for. But you also got to take it to the players that you've got. Because it's not going to be said, no, we need to play like Barcelona. But when you can't
pass up the ball.
I mean, if you say Bongani Morgan can't play at the back, I don't want them to touch the ball.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a story. I said, go to the goalkeeper, and I say to the goalkeeper, don't give the ball to the centre backs.
Yeah.
Okay? Don't give it.
Yeah.
Then I go to the centre backs and tell them, get the ball off the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Then they say, well, he doesn't want to pass to us. They have a big fight every week.
Yeah.
I would just sit there and listen. I tell the girl, don't throw the ball. Because they can't play. They can hit it, they can tackle,
yeah.
and they can score, and they're good defenders, but don't let them play.
Yeah.
So it's only because if I had ball playing centre backs, who could run out of the ball, yeah. and you know, these guys that can play PKs. And,
yeah.
But Rio Ferdinand, they can come. No. Play with what you got.
Yeah. Play, you know,
so philosophy, that. It's all very good and well. Like, that's why I get criticised heavily. South African media, the style. But style is what you've got.
Yeah.
But my style, we make do with what we've got, we've been successful.
Yeah. You know, and also then, I think one thing that people aren't cognizant of is you've got a certain way of doing things. You did it, it worked, you won.
No, but that can change with what you've got.
Yeah.
So people don't misunderstand it. I do it a certain way. Yes, there's certain non-negotiables.
Yeah.
There's not in football, there's non-negotiables. But there's negotiable with ability. I say to, because I know I've got him, but he, if he has three touches, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Then he just has two touches.
Yeah.
So it'll be curtailed in that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a striker, Fikru Teferi.
Yeah, I remember.
I said to him, if you have three touches, you're coming off. Do you understand?
Yeah.
What do you mean? I said, if you have three touches, you're coming off. He got the first ball came, he went one, two, he controlled it, three, four, and then he passed it. Ref, out.
Yeah.
Took him off, 5 minutes. Big fight, me and him. I said, you want to play in this team? You play two touch. You,
yeah.
number nine. Next week, boom, boom, off, boom, in the box. Boom, boom, off, in the box. It's good.
Yeah.
They come behind me. The coach never told me. I said, you can't play.
Yeah.
You can't play.
Yeah.
You are not good enough. But if you play my way, you'll play in this team.
Yeah.
You won the league with
him. Yeah. But, and I mean, it
I'm just giving you, you know,
yeah,
just it's like a goalkeeper. Everybody wants sweeper keepers. Though.
Yeah.
Well, they give you a goalkeeper that can catch the ball.
Yeah.
They can come for a cross, and you can save the ball.
Yeah.
And you can kick it into their half.
Yeah.
But now he wants to come play. Oh, they can't.
Yeah. And it's always like that. Because for me, it's like, do the basics right. Because we've got this huge fascination of ball-playing centre-backs. And it's all well and good, these ball-playing centre-backs, until when it's time to defend, do the basics
what's,
right.
What's the prime objective?
It's to defend.
So why are we trying to make them do things? And what's the prime objective of strikers?
You have to score goals.
And what do we try to make them do? Press and work hard.
Press and
yeah.
the players, little number 10,
yeah,
drop
and
off.
And
yeah.
Exactly.
You know, because essentially then the game boils down to three things. It's defending goals, creating goals, and scoring goals.
Why can't we get it?
So,
yeah.
Yeah. And fine. You were in that period of your life where you felt like, throughout your career, you felt like you wanted that control.
I wanted, I wanted, to be fair, and I still say today, when Wits ended, I needed to move out.
Mm.
Because if I looked at the opposition teams...
Were you ever going to leave Wits? If you guys...
So Wits spoke to me. Wits said along, because I was there 6 years.
Yeah.
They said to me, you can't coach for the ever. I said, well, then you got the wrong guy.
Yeah.
I mean, they fired me. Oh, we laugh and joke. They said, we've got a plan for you. Okay? So I said, well, I'm not going to stop coaching.
Yeah.
You're going to make me do something. Give me coach under 10s or something.
Yeah.
Or make me... Don't use the term technical director.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be in the coach's ear too much. Or so let me... I mean, we can't keep making new contracts. You know what I'm saying? Money,
yeah.
money.
Yeah.
I said, well, we get to a ceiling. We'll pan it off.
Fine.
I'm quite happy with it.
Yeah.
But obviously keep me involved. You know, as long as you can. If it goes belly up, which the results, and you need to fire me, well then, you know, nobody's indispensable
yeah.
as a football coach. But then, I think I've earned enough to have a long, you know, longer period there, which maybe could have gone on 10, 12 years. But certainly there was a plan for me to go into the back room.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know.
But then, that
I don't think I would have handled that. But
yeah.
when I got to the bridge, we would have got there. You know.
Yeah. But then that call comes in then. From Kaiser.
Bobby. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Bobby.
Yeah.
So
Bobby doesn't work. Yeah.
So what was that
well,
conversation
because,
like?
You know, this was my initial thing. They
yeah.
came second by 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Because if they held out the last 15 minutes, they would have won and they would have won the league.
Yeah.
They kept second. So my first reaction was, why are you rid of the coach?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's very fair.
Why are you rid of Ernst? I mean, shouldn't you be keeping... No... I didn't know the reason why, but they obviously had heard that something was going down with Ernst. They didn't like him, or he didn't like them, or there was something happened there. But I mean, there was a guy, took him to a cup final, okay, lost the year before.
Mm-hmm.
He improved the team, he improved the brought in some good players. He did a hell of a good job. He came second by 20, call me alive or whatever, 20, yeah. 30 minutes, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then he fired him. I thought, where does that put me? Imagine me coming third next year.
Yeah.
I'm going to be out here. So already I was in a, I didn't feel comfortable with the situation.
Yeah.
But then being told what I got told, that you could change the team.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, now's my time.
But coach,
hold on.
Yeah.
So now you come in, I can change the team. I said, right. There wasn't many Wits players left, and there wasn't many players we could get. So I gave them, they said, give us a list of players that you would like. I said, these ones you can get. This is what we need. This is what we don't need. I think, blah, blah, blah. This is what you need to let go, blah. So it was a whole professional plan. That got out somehow. That would, yeah. So it was a little bit of dishonesty from wherever.
Somewhere, so, yeah. But coach, with regards to the job, was it a job that when you got offered the job, did you really want the job?
Or did you it came in a
or do you feel like it was a convenient...
It was sort of say, oh, let's go, okay. You know, look, I don't have anything,
yeah.
Let's do this. And being told that, because I was watching Chiefs for the last 5-6 years,
yeah.
From the outside, they need a change. They need a change.
Yeah.
Not coaching. They need a change in personnel.
Yeah.
You can't keep... The players when I got there are still there from when they won the league 7 years ago.
Yeah.
It can't be. I'm not saying they're not good players.
Yeah.
But it's just that the legs are not going to be there, the energy's not going to be there.
The desire, the this, the that.
It can't be right. So you need to change. Jeff Butler, who was one of the most successful coaches of the Kaizer Chiefs, he got rid of Teenage Dudler and Ashton Chilengo, who are the biggest legends. If you pick an all-time Chiefs team,
yeah.
They are starting.
Yeah,
Ashton Chilengo is the best player for me in South Africa.
Yeah.
He got rid of them. The supporters wanted to kill him. I think next season he won 5 trophies. Because then he brought in, I don't know, Dr. Kamalo. Yeah. No, he brought in Chipmore Teddy. He said, remember the Kulus. These were young, up and... Because they needed revival. Every team needs that. The job of a coach or a manager is not to coach the team. It's to watch the team. Who is dropping standards? Who is not training as the levels that they should train? Who is not trying hard enough? Who, blah, 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 blah. And every day, that's my job. Yes, besides all the coaching and tactics and blah, blah, blah. But every day I'm watching body language. I'm watching the desire to want to win. And, you know, and when I went to Chiefs, they said, yeah, we can meet me. I said, I'm not going to say we need 12 out or something, yeah. But we need to bring a few, you know, changes, yeah. And then obviously the band was there, and then I was buggered.
Yeah, so then with your technical team, were there any people that you were trying to bring along, like, for example, maybe Paul? Because you
know, Paul was trying to, but obviously it couldn't work. But they liked Dylan because of what he did with the Disky. So, you know, I spoke to Dylan, and I said, look, come across, and, you know, he came across, and that was it, yeah.
Yeah, so how do you find working then with that technical team?
Well, it's different at Chiefs because your staff is much bigger and everybody is sort of needs to be satisfied to be doing something.
Yeah.
Where I've come from environments where it's been a coach and assistant coach and physio and the goalkeeper and that was it. Mm-hmm. Which I always find I think staffs are far too overloaded these days.
I agree with
there's
you.
Too many. There's too many people adding 5 cents into a situation which just doesn't require. And players, and they will tell players what players want to hear. And you cannot have that. You need to have a situation whereby the coach needs to be, you know, knows who, how, what. So, and that's all, a lot of the modern day, you know, clubs, so it's all good and well said, look at our club, we're very professional. We've got this, all these positions. But really, you've got to be very careful what type of manager you bring in with those. With that type of situation.
Yeah.
So obviously all those people I inherited, you know, so now we've got to try and work and but that wasn't the problem.
Yeah.
That wasn't the problem. You know, you've got no problem with that. The biggest problem is I felt that the team needed a change.
Yeah.
And the team, to do that, you've got to bring in. So I played a lot of the youngsters.
Yeah.
And what happened was, we tried to go on all fronts and we were doing well in Africa.
Ooh,
I mean, first time to qualify, first time to get out of a group, and then obviously to get to, oh, I mean, when I left, they fired me, I was in the semi-final, in the semi-final.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't think, you know, they can do that again.
Yeah, and you mentioned then the young players, you know, and two particular young players stick out to me. That is Nkosi Mpilengqomo and then Jabulo Blom.
Yeah,
what about those two players that stands out for
so
you?
So I get to Chiefs and I see this boy Blom. I think he's got an engine. Very placid boy.
Mm-hmm.
Needs to change. He needs to change in his desire to want to win. And if you look at our midfield that we had at Chiefs, we had people that were the legs had gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was, to be fair, there were great service to the club, but their legs had gone. That's why I had to take Park and play in midfield.
Yeah.
Give us more legs and more ability. And Blom came in, centre midfield. They told me he was a wing back, a right back, mm-hmm. which is, for me, no, he's a midfield player.
Because
he's got energy, he's got legs. He can, midfield players, modern midfield players got to go box to box.
Yeah.
And they got to close the space down both ways.
Yeah.
So when the ball goes forward, closing the space, when the ball goes over the head behind it, they're going to get... So you need, and you need legs.
Yeah.
And you can play with it.
And it's interesting you say that about Blom, because during this season, we have seen that at times he's played at right back, at times he's played in midfield.
I've played him as a wing back.
And when he's played as a midfield, he's actually had two assists as well. And you mentioned how he's a player then who can do a bit of everything for you in the midfield.
So he's a player that you can sign two less players.
Mm.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So that goes now my thinking.
Yeah.
Because I say, geez, we've got a problem. He can play inside right in a three.
Yeah.
He can play right wing back in a when he play five.
Yeah.
He can play right back in a push, you know, in a back four.
Yeah.
But he can play in a double in a six.
Double pivot, yeah.
What is six, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So he can play three, four positions.
Yeah.
Now you're talking my language.
Yeah.
Now my eyes, now I get a bit of it in my stomach. So yeah. When I saw him, he was perfect. The other one, he's got so much ability, but his biggest problem is his athleticism, which is always going to be his big problem. He's got to get fitter, and I don't think he's got the capacity to get up and down the pitch, so you've got to try and use him in a way where you can get him closer to the goal,
yeah.
to make that final ball.
Yeah.
That means you're going to have to change, rearrange your team a little bit.
Yeah.
You're going to have to carry him a little bit, but he's got the pass. He's got the pass. He's got the quality.
Yeah.
He's got that. Now, how do you... He likes Shakes from Barney.
Yeah.
You know, Shakes from Barney, if you play 4-4-2, you put him on the left, he's going to end up in the centre.
Yeah.
Because he can't defend, he's not going to run, he can't run.
Yeah.
But you get him on the ball, he'll give you that pass.
Yeah.
So, and Stuart's been good with him because he's trying to put him in the team, so that means you're going to have to change to a back three.
Yeah.
You can't play with a back four,
because
then you're going to carry him. So with a back three, you can overload a little bit behind the strike, and playing in there, you know, which is what they've done.
Yeah, and when you look at that group of young players, then which player would you say is one that is destined to have a great career?
Well, I think Blom will go further because of his athleticism and I think because of his strength and he can play. And he's the type of player that will be a shoo-in every week.
Mm.
You know, I call it, a shoo-in. You pick him and then you start picking the other ones.
Yeah.
I think he'll have a big... But there was other ones that obviously faded away since I left.
Yeah.
There was a boy, Daryl.
Daryl Macheka. Yeah.
There was a boy, Lusaka, was a winger.
Yeah.
There was another one, the big boy at the back, the left foot, plays in Bisky.
Tom Nguyen.
Yeah. You know, so they had... It was decent one. The goalkeeper's not bad.
Yeah.
You know, so I just felt they needed a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I always felt, going back to the regional statement I said to you earlier, there's too much... My opinion,
yeah.
of players that are better in back threes than in a back four.
Yeah.
So rather have a player that can play in a back four than play in a back three.
Yeah.
It's like centre midfield. Rather have a player that can play in a two than be in a three.
Yeah.
So you're saying Ngobo, he can't play in a double in a two. You understand?
Yeah.
Because loss of ball
is
a problem because he doesn't have that athleticism to get where you want it to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're chasing the game, you might do it.
Yeah.
But the point I'm trying to say is look for players that can play. So these wingbacks, so that if they're going to be wingbacks, are they a winger or are they a fullback?
Fullback, yeah.
So I'd rather have somebody who's a fullback and get a winger
than
have somebody in between.
Yeah.
So that goes back to what recruitment, it goes back to how you want to play, and that's where the coach and the person that does the recruitment's got to be on the same...
Yeah, on the same level.
Because what happens nowadays, which happened to Sundance,
that's
why Sundance came right. Because Sundance just signed the best player. Oh, he played for Maritzburg. Oh, he's the best player. Okay, so where's he going to play? Where is he going to play in our team?
Yeah.
So we sign the player, where's he going to play? And Sundance have got a tendency to do that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Used to. And then Pitso came and said, right, I need a winger, I need this.
Yeah,
now we're signing more people. But they should just sign the best players.
Yeah.
And then try and put this whole puzzle together.
Yeah. So you mentioned recruitment, which is something I'd like to touch on when it comes to KZ Chiefs. How do you feel they fare in that department? Do you feel like they've
I was there 8 months, 9 months.
Yeah.
And I inherited... But I, and I'll say this straight, There's players I would never have signed.
It's the truth.
It's the truth. Why must I lie?
Yeah.
And maybe they say, well, maybe they, I'm the coach, they would never shouldn't have signed.
Yeah.
But I would never sign players. I don't think they fitted into what, where the game. So I inherited a lot of the players from Steve's time. And I think Ernst came after Steve. And they didn't want wingers. So there was no real wide players. They played with the fullbacks. Which is nothing. They went that way. And then Steve obviously lost his job. And then, so they got all these fullbacks, but no wingers. So you take a boy like Zuma.
Dumas,
yeah. He's not a winger. He's not a... He's a bit in between.
He's a bit of an sort of inside forward type.
Yeah. So when I get there, there's no left winger. There's no right winger. And I had the boy on the left, Happy Mashiani. So I made him like the left winger. Yeah, but what I'm trying to say, he wasn't there.
Yeah.
So we made him play. Then we need someone playing on the right-hand side a little bit more.
Yeah.
Wanyama's not going to play. He's not a runner up there.
Yeah.
So now, so when you build a team, you're signing a squad.
Yeah.
You say like, I think, so I would build a squad.
Yeah.
One right back. Four centre backs. Two left backs. Now you say, well, I'm a right back. This right back, you can always take centre back player.
Yeah.
Two left backs. This is my team.
Yeah.
Four centre midfield players. Two wingers. Two number nines. And maybe two number tens.
Yeah.
23 players and three goalkeepers. That's it.
But
now I've got everybody who can, they can play in three, they can play in two, they can play with a winger, they can play not. Now we've got players.
Yeah.
But when I got to Swallows, there was 40 players, 35 midfield players, three defenders, I'm not joking. So now you say, okay, now we need, let's play 4-4-2. You can't play 4-4-2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just giving you basic.
Yeah.
You can't play 4-3-3. We can't, because we don't have enough defenders.
Yeah.
So you take it. So that was the secret of that Supersport. You work with the chairman, you say, right. He said, oh, I've got this good right back. I said, I don't need another right back. If he's better, okay, if he's better, then we've got to sell our right back then.
Mm.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
You can't have two right backs. We need four centre backs. And in the four, we want three starters, and I want one young one.
Yeah.
So we build two left backs. Because left backs are a very difficult position to play.
Yeah.
You need a left foot player there. And that's how you build your team. What type of midfield players do you want? Do you want box to box? I like people to go up and down.
Yeah.
I can't have this one. I'm a defensive midfield player. So what is that? Don't you attack? I mean, attack the midfield players, and don't you defend?
Yeah.
You've got to get up and down the pitch.
Yeah.
So now we look for those type of players. On the right, we meet somebody who can cross on the ball, who can help us defend. This one is better in a three to leave him higher, and this one is better in a two to play tuck
in.
You understand? Left wing, one can play higher, one can play tuck in. If they can do both, like Dane, which was good at that, now you're in business.
Yeah. So then, why then does the decision come with regards to sacking you if you're doing well in capturing?
Well, I was told. I won't say who the person was.
Yeah.
I was told we'd rather come sixth in the league and be knocked out first round of the Champions League. So I said, well, then you got the wrong coach because there's no ambition.
Yeah.
I said, I can't go on two fronts here. We can't. Mm-hmm. We don't have a squad. We're playing Saturday in Guinea, we're arriving back here Monday, and we're playing Tuesday and Wednesday in Durban.
Yeah.
The squad is not, we can't do. Either we go here or we go there. And I saw a gap.
Yeah.
I saw a gap because I said, the Champions League for me, African Champions League, the only thing is the tough is conditions, but it's overrated. Football's, be with me.
Yeah.
So if you can handle all the nonsense that goes on, and you're strong mentally and all that, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Your team doesn't have to be that busy.
Yeah.
But the football is not good. But I found we were better in the Champions League because we had players with no pace.
Mm.
So it was slower the game.
Yeah.
When you got to the PSL, because you got the PSL, the players run faster.
Yeah. Very good.
Where in the Champions League, the ball is moving, and we had a team with not much pace, and that's why we did better in the Champions League. I'm telling you, that's for me. I will argue with anybody in their face.
Yeah.
So it was two games to go. I was a bit taken back. You know, we lost to Leopards, which was a bad defeat away.
Yeah.
And then that was the Wednesday and the Thursday, you know, it's gone.
So how do you handle that, coach? Because you're looking at...
I was disappointed because I was two games away of turning this thing around for next season.
Yes. Is there a
feeling? I'm very disappointed.
Yeah.
But obviously there, in the camp, there must have been four or there must have been against. And maybe there was more against.
Yeah.
But I just felt that, and I don't care what anybody says. If you're winning every year, then I've got to know what your formula is.
Yeah.
And if you're not winning, 7-8 years, we haven't won anything.
Yeah.
Surely we need to change something.
Something needs to change.
Something needs to change. You change me, no problem. Because you're going to have the same problem.
But you're going to keep having
the same problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do better in the league, domestically.
Yeah.
But you're going to have the same problems.
Yeah. But then doesn't that feeling of, it just let me finish my run in the CAF Champions
League. Yeah, but you should, because once the owners or chairmen or they get a bee in their bonnet about things like that, you can't argue with that, you know. So, listen, it is what it is. Wrong place, wrong time. I'm very disappointed because I felt that they never got the best of me.
Yeah.
Me, you know, they never got, and even though in the Champions League we were going, you know, and I just felt that, yeah, it's a pity. But you know what?
Yeah, it is.
Baxter went back. Ernst Müller went back. You never know.
So, okay, coach. Out of all the jobs you've taken, this next one, yeah, this was very surprising to me.
No, so obviously, you know, I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
I mean, and my daughter said to me, she's never seen me like that.
Yeah.
She said she's never ever seen me all the years as a, well, she never saw me as a player. So disappointed. I was gutted.
You know,
is the English term, gutted.
Yeah.
I was drained. I was so disappointed because I just felt that they never got the best of me because the things didn't settle and it just took time. Anyway, and an opportunity came up and I said, you know what? They've had 12 coaches in I don't know how many years.
In 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks. I said, you're not going to last. But you know what? Let me go and smell some sea here.
Yeah.
And I had a chat to the guy and I said to him, Chipper, and to be fair, the only thing that disappointed me about Chipper, he never spoke to me.
Yeah.
He hasn't spoken to me today.
Yeah.
And, you know,
sending you an email.
Under investigation, I'm suspended. Speak to me.
Yeah.
Speak to me. What don't you like? I'm not happy. I know you're not happy. You're not winning. And I told him from the start, it'll get worse before it gets better. When I left, they were not in the bottom two.
Mm-mm.
We were third bottom, fourth bottom. And the signs were there.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And the team that's playing now is pretty much the same, the shape and the balance. But certain things needed to happen.
Mm.
And that goes back to my previous club as well. You've got to allow the manager to fall on his own sword.
Yeah.
You know, by allowing, within reason. You know what I mean? I'm not being unreasonable.
Yeah.
To say this, that, you know, change. No, to be within certain. And then you fail. Okay. You know what I'm saying? But we never, at Chipper, we did well. We came in there, we did a pre-season. You know, it was good.
Started off pretty well.
Yeah, we were top of the league over 2 games. we had to trade duck and diving players.
Yeah.
And obviously the financial problem is, you know, payment and that.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I just felt that, I think, and I say this in all honesty, it's a club with the biggest potential in South Africa. And I will argue, it's got the best facilities. It's in an area where the catchment area of supporters is huge.
Yeah.
They've got a beautiful stadium. Fantastic club. You need to just allow us to do your thing. And we would have been fine. And I said to him, what do you want? Oh, we want to be safe. I said, we'll be safe. I will keep this team up.
Yeah.
Just, you need to listen to what.
What, yeah.
And what happened with us when I was there? We drew normal. And then we lost the Chiefs and Pirates.
Yeah.
Two big islands. But if you look at the Chiefs game, we lost 4-0. That game could be 5-4 to us.
Yeah.
I mean, the Chargers are there. Anyway. And I said, don't worry about those. That's not our league. We're in another league.
Yeah.
Let's compete with the ones around us, the Baroccas. Let's beat them. If we beat them, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then we drew with Middlesbrough. No, could have been 3-4-0, 5 minutes. Miss. And Eva, I signed Eva in number.
Yeah.
And he never scored a goal in the 10 games I was there. As soon as I leave, he scores 9 goals in 10 games. So, you know, that's... he phones me and thanks me and, you know, because I helped him. And,
yeah.
I said, him, it'll come. But obviously not knowing that I'm going to go. And it can, you know, so you'll be fine.
Yeah. Coach, I really enjoyed that, sort of going through the clubs, how you started. But before I do let you go, there are two segments I'm going to start with. The first segment is titled Coach's Corner. Mm. So with regards then to Coach's Corner, I'd like to have your top five best coaches of all time in South African football.
In South African football? Yes. Best coaches?
Yes. Your top five. You're allowed to put yourself in there.
No. From my playing days, I've got to say the biggest injustice that never happened, that he didn't get the South African job, was Budgie Boone. who was my mentor, who played, I played for all the years.
Yeah.
Nobody could touch him when it comes to the game. You know, you tell you just play 5 meters in or play 5 meters wide or drop down.
Yeah.
And you all of a sudden get the ball. So he was obviously my, I would say, Joe Frickleton.
Yeah.
You know, he was from the old school, Highlands Park, the challenger, unbelievable coach. I'm talking from my time.
Yeah, from your time, yeah.
I would say, I thought he was a fantastic coach. How many I got? Five.
Yeah, five.
So Joe Frickleton definitely in there. I loved Eddie Lewis. I thought he was, you know, I thought he was fantastic. And I would say Eddie Gordon, you know, Gordon Ingerson was good. Clive Barker's got to be in there.
Yeah.
Because of what he's achieved. Nobody's going to achieve what he's achieved. to win the Nations Cup. I don't think that.
Yeah.
We were close in 98. And I've got to say Pitso.
Yeah.
I've got to say Pitso. True story, Pitso came to me for a job at Lennox to be my assistant coach.
Yeah.
And he spoke, my owners were Greek, and he, you know, Pitso played in Greece.
Yeah.
And they had a meeting. I said, look, I'm fine, you know. And then something happened, he got a job at Sundowns in the juniors. He coached the juniors.
Yeah.
I think he was still playing or just finished playing. And then
Was that the one coach? Because when we look at the
rivalry.
Yes, the rivalry.
No, I would say Gordon and me were, because Gordon was a little, because Pitso came in a few years after, yeah, I started already.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in Swallows two years already, 3 years, and obviously Lennox and Black Leopards. And Pitso came in after then. But Gordon was my biggest rival, because Gordon was he was winning the leagues, and
yeah,
he was the main guy. But then obviously, and then Pitso was, yeah, but then Pitso went to the national team, so he wasn't,
yeah,
really in the league. So I was still with Gordon, was our biggest rivalry. But then Pitso obviously when he went to Sundowns.
Yeah.
And then I was at Vitz. So that 4 or 5 years, that was the big,
yeah,
one. Because we were second, they were first, we were,
yeah,
second, they were first, third, you know. But I got a great respect for Pitso, because it takes what he's done to go and get that opportunity.
Sure.
And go live in a country like that. I mean, I'll go tomorrow, you know. But to go and embrace. And I always say, the thing about coaching is to embrace other cultures.
Mm.
And that's something that I envy Pitso, because that's what I... When I left Vitz, that's what I wanted to do,
mm-hmm,
is get another culture,
yeah,
and get out of the league, you know, put the PSL league, but there was an opportunity. So, yeah, I would say Pitso, Gordon, Clive, Budgie, Joe, Frickleton, you know,
yeah,
were certainly people that I... Jeff Butler was good,
yeah,
very good with me. We had a lot of conversations. You know, he was very successful at Kaizer Chiefs. The one I didn't get on with very well was Ted Dimitri. I was... Had big fights with him, big arguments with him about football, because, you know, we had many, many touchline battles.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't like that, you know, because I find there's too much of that today where coaches complain about your team, why are you kicking our players? I didn't tell them to kick each other.
Yeah.
You know, you can't win your team, I'll win my team.
Yeah.
There's too much of that. When a referee makes a bad decision, or a coach wanting your players to get booked or yellow card,
yeah,
I don't like that. You
I
know?
Don't like that.
You know?
It's not good for the game.
Or it's a blatant red card and the guy gives a yellow card and then there's a big hoo-ha and a commotion. So try and concentrate your own team a little bit,
yeah,
and stay away. The problem is when benches are close.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they are a little bit further away now.
Yeah.
But I hate it when the opposition score against and the coach is making signs at you and you. And
I'll meet you in the parking lot.
Yeah, I don't like it. But yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, so
those are your top five.
There's got to be respect amongst coaches.
Yeah.
I don't think there's enough respect. Respect. I'm not talking about respect off the field. I'm talking about respect on the field.
Yeah.
You know, off the field, we're all shaking hands.
Yeah.
Everybody's hugging each other, but more off the field, more,
yeah,
on the field when the game is on.
Yeah. So we've seen the rise of co-coaches, which is something I don't believe in, and I don't like it at all. And the reason why I don't like it is because I feel it's important that we retain certain traditional nuances. Like you had mentioned earlier on, with regards to just having, it's you, it's your assistant, it's the goalkeeper coach, the physio, and that's the bench, that's it. You know. So what is your take then on co-coaching?
Totally against. But if you look at, I think football's going to go like American football.
Yeah.
Where you're going to have all these coaches. And I feel that there's got to be more one voice than three or four,
yeah,
two voices. And I think that's when you have players. You must remember players. Players look for any avenue to make an excuse. That's what the players about. It wasn't me. And players then start using members of the staff.
Yeah.
Because the staff is too big. So the man in charge loses that little bit of control. Well, he likes me, but he doesn't like me. Well, you know, so
yeah, it becomes a petty.
It becomes, and then you find that, so, or out of the three or four coaches, I like him, but I don't like him, and I don't like him. So I think it's a very dangerous, I think it's working, obviously, they're winning leagues and Sundowns, if you're talking about Sundowns.
Yeah.
But if you look at it, if they had less ability players or less ability a team,
yeah.
I don't think it could work.
Yes, because my question then becomes, what happens
then it becomes,
when
then
the team starts doing badly?
But then it becomes in terms of the philosophy. Because every one of those guys will have a different thought about something.
Mm.
Now, we need to get a result. It's not as though we're going to win anyway, because they're going to win anyway, because they've got the best players.
Yeah.
Or best team. They've still got to do their work, which I'm sure they do behind the scenes, and I'm sure they've done well. But when you've got lesser ability players, the philosophy changes. Do we still play?
Yeah.
Do we go a bit longer?
Do
we take a fight? Do we go direct? And one might be different.
Yeah.
Do we hold the result now?
Yeah.
It's normal 10 minutes ago, or do we try to chase the result?
Mm.
But sometimes they can chase it because they've got the quality.
Yeah.
And they normally win in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's where you go. And when it does go a little bit, lose a bit, which hasn't happened to them yet.
Yeah. That's what I want to see.
What's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
But right now, they're flying. They'll say, oh, three brains are better than one. But I feel when you're on the training ground, you need one voice.
Yeah.
On the training ground. You need one voice. Yes, you need your staff. And I always felt, I generally like to have older assistants.
Yeah.
So you say, what does that mean? Well, older assistants. Maybe when I get to age, I might need younger assistants, like Alex Ferguson. Mm-hmm. He got younger assistants to do the training more, and he did less and less. But when you're still capable, like me, run around, you need older assistants, because he can keep an eye on things,
mm-hmm.
you know? And he's a little bit...
That mature voice.
Yeah, he's a little bit quieter in the place.
Yeah.
And he's not really there to try and make you out like you know what you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I had an older assistant, John Rowley, a Scotchman, who was a Scottish guy. He was much older than me, and he was brilliant with me. A qualified coach.
Yeah.
He went to the UEFA coach. He was a qualified. So he knew football. He knows the coaching. And he would just grab me by the arm. Say, hey, easy. Calm down. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
The team is okay. Blah, 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 blah. You know, you're doing the right things. Just keep at it, you know. So that, and you also need that reassurance.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you are. The Jose Mourinho's of all, they come out with all the blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But they've always got reassurance behind them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what they do.
And the last question I have for you in this segment, would you ever take the Bafana Bafana?
Yes. Yes. Oh, I've always said it.
Yeah.
People say, I do think Bafana Bafana, a national team, is for an older guy.
Because
you're not working every day.
Yeah, I know.
You're becoming a selector. That's all you really do, because you're selecting players and you're looking at games and you watch. So you have them for 3 days and you've got to train them. It's not really much training.
Yeah.
Put them in a structure, put them in a shape, how you want to play, what you want to do with the ball, without the ball, and then try and go from there. And yes, I would love to. My greatest ambition would take a team to a World Cup.
Yeah.
And so I felt in 2010 there was a big opportunity.
Mm.
And we took Carlsberg, but we should have taken a local guy. A local guy just to give him that experience.
Yeah.
Listen, we're never going to get out the group. I'll look at my crook and we could have got out the group.
Yeah.
Like Qatar, they're not going to win a game now. Qatar.
Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah.
You know, we beat France, you know, okay. But, you know,
we drew with Mexico in the first game.
Yeah, we
1-1, and then Uruguay smashed us.
They beat us, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would certainly like to do a national team one day.
That would be really nice. I'd like to see you managing national team.
You know, I think what the national team also needs is a little bit more honesty.
Mm.
I think, that, you know, because most of the time is they never worry about the start of the 11. National team. They're always worried about the guys who are not playing.
Yeah.
Well, why is he not playing? Well, he's not looking good enough.
Yeah.
Or he's not doing the business. That's why he's not in the starting 11. Or why did we pick so-and-so? Well, if you watch his club form, he's not doing enough.
Yeah.
And just be a little bit more forthright.
Yeah.
And then just talk to the player before and say, I didn't pick you. But you don't have to phone everybody.
Yeah.
But if you put it out there, you listen, you're not working on enough. I remember Stuart Baxter when he was a national team and he came to South Africa. We had a meeting. He called me up and he asked me about a player. I wouldn't mention the player's name.
Yeah.
Everybody's telling me, I should pick him. What do you think? I said, no chance. Are you mad? He said, well, why do you say it like that? I said, watch him. he was on the right. Yeah. So watch him. See how many times he crosses the ball successfully, and how many times there's an end product, or how many times a successful pass.
Yeah.
Anyway, he went back, and a week later he phoned me, he says, you're right. I said, well, but the whole country wants him in the team.
Yeah.
I said, what does he do? There's no end product.
Yeah.
He runs around, he does a few little jigs here and there. What does he do? So, you know, those type of things. But that's just a matter of opinion.
Yeah, it happens. But it happens. So definitely you take it if it came your way.
Yeah, I think you've got to do it.
Yeah.
You've got to have a go at it.
Yeah, you never know.
It's like a pattern. Everybody hands it on and you know.
Yeah. So, coach.
You keep me here.
Let's have a look at your best 11, and that's it.
Very difficult.
Best 11, that's the final segment of today's episode, and you can go. I need a formation. I need your captain.
Jeez, I've had some good ones, eh? I mean, I could say who I got on the best with, or who was good for me, or
just for me. Just your best 11. The guys you liked coaching, and some of the best players that you really enjoyed.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to be players who were maybe successful, but just your best 11 from a personal perspective.
Yeah. Let me start up front.
Okay.
Glenn, Salmon, definitely. Yeah. Benny.
Yeah,
it's got to be. I mean, even though Benny wasn't with me a long time,
yeah,
but I still feel he was, he was the best.
Yeah,
Dane, Pelembe,
he's
not going.
Yeah,
here's a problem, because I had some of the best, and I had some average and some very good ones, and
yeah,
I'd have to say, if it's just a 4-4-2,
yeah.
And I, John Mendy. I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought he was a pass on the ball, he was controlling the game. I mean, I've had some good ones. Brett Carlson, fantastic player. Wasted talent. I'd have to say the best ones I've had is Morgan Gould.
Yeah.
He was solid as a rock.
Yeah.
I'd have to go Tyson. That's why.
Yeah.
I like him. And I've had Butler, I've had Bongani, I'd take Tyson. Yeah. Tyson and Morgan would score 6-7 goals each a season. They'd hit the ball, they hit the ball further than you and I could kick it. and they were tough and they were demanding every week. I'd have to say, for a right back, the steadiest right back I had, Nazir Ali.
Nazir Ali.
Very steady.
Very consistent.
So, you know, a right back. He should never give you 9 out of 10, and he must never give you 5 out of 10.
Mm.
He must give you 8 out of 10 every week. And he was an 8 out of 10 player every week. He never gave the ball away, he never got beat 1v1. He's still playing at 37,
yeah.
By the way. I don't know how he does it. I don't know. Left backs, I've had some good ones.
Yeah.
I mean, recently I've had some real good ones.
Santi?
Yeah, he's got to be in there. But I think consistency wise, I'd say David Cannon.
It's
consistent. He's consistent. 8 out of 10. Yeah. Clunty would have 9 out of 10. Yeah.
And then the next week.
Difficult. Goalkeeper, yeah. I've had Andre, I've had Dennis Onyango, I've had Mini Josephs.
Yeah.
As a goalkeeper. I've had Darren Keith, I had a guy, 7-star, John Goodwin.
Yeah.
Brilliant players. But I'd say for consistency wise, you've got to go Andre. He was consistent. He's another guy. He's not going to give you a 4 out of 10. He's not going to give you 10 out of 10. He's going to give you 8.
Consistent.
8 out of 10.
And
for me, consistency is the biggest problem in South African football.
Yeah.
So if we go through this team, a lot of consistency.
Who's the captain?
I wouldn't say Tyson, because but Tyson led from high play. He wasn't a verbal captain. I wouldn't say Morgan, because Morgan would kick the guy. I wouldn't say Nazir. I wouldn't say David. I wouldn't say I would say Jabo Mendo was my captain.
Yeah,
because he could walk the talk and deliver.
Yeah.
But he was short, 2-3 years over that, like that.
Yeah.
But football intention, like I haven't seen many people like that before. And I've had Tabang Manadi, who played last night, yeah. Ben Matswadis, I've had Shane Pokerton, Colm Malambo,
yeah.
I've had great, good sentiment field players.
Yeah.
People that could really, he was Lebo Kakana, who had a fantastic, but Jawa, he's glue, man. He's just,
yeah.
He could play in modern day. not the best athlete,
yeah,
but never lost the ball.
Mm.
Got the ball in tight areas, turned into 40-yard pass.
Yeah.
Could play a 5-yard pass, could shoot, could
break
pass.
Lines.
And talk.
Yeah.
And talk.
Yeah.
Organized, pull people. Fantastic. I mean, it's the, I could pick a 11 who could beat this 11.
Yeah.
From, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry if I left anybody out. I mean, Lefort, Andy Lefort.
Yeah.
Match winner. Match winner. Jabu Malileka. Not yeah, Jabu Malileka. Mm. Jeez, what a player. So, yeah, Zongos, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's fine. I understand.
Sorry, guys, or anybody else.
Coach Gavin, thank you very much for your time. I truly appreciate this. And, yeah, I'm glad we're able to sit down and have a conversation, go down memory lane, and have a look at some of the best moments that defined your career. So, thank you very much, Coach.
Thank you, my man.
I truly appreciate it.
So that's my fifth.
Yeah.
And actually, we played for 50 rand a win.
Yeah.
And 25 rand a draw.
Yeah.
And we made more money than my salary somewhere. 90 rand.
So, Coach, definitely look forward to seeing you.
Thanks.
Back in
the hope you. I wish all. I hope the show goes well.
Yeah.
So the sponsors out there, please support this man.
Yeah. So, Coach, are we seeing you DS2 Premiership next season?
I've been off since December.
Yeah.
My feet are itchy.
You want to get back?
I wake up 5 o'clock every morning. I'm going mad because you know I used to be at work by 6.
Yeah.
At wherever I worked in the gym or whatever I did there, so I'm missing it terribly. I miss the feel, the vibe. Monday to Friday, the Saturdays.
Good
result is okay.
Yeah.
Good result. It takes you a bit of time to get over, but I miss the. I like to see human beings improve.
Yeah.
That's more. I think that's. We missed that a bit. I like to see human beings do well in their life after football. And they phone me up and we talk. I mean, there's so many people I talk to and they're doing well and their families are happy. So if we can make more better human beings.
So hopefully we'll see you next week. Hope.
The media have got nothing to write about.
Coach, thank you very much.
Brother.
I appreciate
Good luck. I hope you show it as well.
Thank you very much. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning in to yet another special episode.